sleep in heavenly peace. Amen. You may be seated. Every year I try to help us out by giving a short Christmas quiz, see how much we know about Christmas, and some of these questions I've given you before because you didn't pass, and I've added a couple of new ones in, so I'm going to see how much you know about Christmas, the real facts about Christmas. So I'm going to read a question and then give you some multiple choice answers, and when you think you hear the right answer, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to go out on a limb with this and try to admit whether or not you have the answers or not, so I want you to raise your hand to the answer. Number one, when Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, how did they get there? A, they walked. Raise your hand if you think you know the answer. They walked. B, Joseph walked and Mary rode a cart. C, Mary rode a donkey. Joseph walked. Or D, we really don't know. Anybody want to? The answer, according to the Bible, is D. The Bible doesn't tell us how they got there. It just says that they got there. All of that stuff you got from your Christmas musical with the donkey and the walking and all that, that makes for great pageantry, but it's not biblical. We don't know. Number two, what did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? A, that there were too many people in town due to the census. B, that there are no rooms left. C, that they could sleep in the stable. Or D, all of the above. Or E, none of the above. None of you want to go out on a limb here? Nobody's guessing? You're all chickening out? The answer is E. There's no mention of an innkeeper in the biblical account, in Matthew's account or Luke's account. We don't have an innkeeper in the Bible. Number three, how many angels spoke to the shepherds? Now, this has got to be easy, right? How many angels spoke to the shepherds? A, a multitude. Nobody wants a multitude. Multitude of angels. B, Gabriel and Michael, anybody? C, one? Or D, we're not sure. The answer is C, one. Luke 2:10 says an angel spoke to the shepherds. An angel spoke to the shepherds. What song did the angels sing? A, joy to the world. B, holy, holy, holy. C, glory to God in the highest. Or D, none of the above. Well, it's a trick question, because I asked, what did the angels sing? They didn't sing. The Bible says in Luke 2:13, they were praising God and saying, not singing. So it's a trick question for you. Five, what animals were present at Jesus' birth? This should be easy for you. We've all seen our Christmas pageants. What animals were present? A, cows, sheep, and camels. B, horses, sheep, and donkeys. C, lions, and tigers, and bears. Or D, none of the above. It has to be none of the above. There is no animals mentioned in the Christmas story. We don't know. You know, it's just a stable. A lot of the things that we see are inferred. And then the last one, this one's easy for us. In what books of the Bible can you find the Christmas story? Is it in A, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? B, is it in Matthew and Luke? C, is it in Matthew and Mark? Or D, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Anybody want to guess? The answer is B. It's found in Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't pick up Jesus' account until he was older. John starts before Jesus' birth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Matter of fact, most of our Christmas story comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now, you know, it's amazing to me how much we pick up of the Christmas story that's not actually in the Christmas story, not actually in the biblical account. We get a lot of our information from TV, from movies, from Christmas pageants, and not from the Bible. So I would encourage you sometime during this holiday season, take a moment, read the Christmas story, read Luke's version, Luke chapter 2, which I'm going to read here in a little bit, for your family, to get a sense of what the Christmas story is. Now, I'm not done with your participation. A couple more questions. These are a little different, a little easier. These are just rating where you are, how you're feeling, okay? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question to give me an answer out of 1 out of 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the most, okay? 1 the least, 10 the most. And so I want you to be able to raise your hands. You can give us a 1, 2, 5, 10, depending on the question I ask. The first one, since Christmas is coming Wednesday, whether we like it or not, how prepared are you? With 10 being, I am ready to go. 1 being, oh no, it's Christmas. Give us a hand. How many? We got people that are ready to go. All right. Well, Christmas, since it's coming, can wear us out. The energy level gets down. We get exhausted over Christmas. How would you say your energy level is going into Christmas? 10 being, man, I am excited. I am raring to go. 1 being, I'm about to die. I can't believe it's Christmas. What do we got energy level? Everybody ready to go. Stress. Christmas can be a stressful time of year. It can wear us out stressfully. So 10 being, I am as stressed as I can be. I am pulling my hair out. I don't want family to show up. 1 being, I'm smooth, ready to go. What do we got? There you go. We got some people that are okay, some people that are stressed. Now the most important question, how tired of you are hearing Christmas songs on the radio? 10, shut them down. 1, play them all the time, right? Amen. Well, I think all of us can agree that whether we want it or not, Christmas is coming. You know, I think probably if there's anything in America that we are ready for, it's Christmas. Right? I mean, how can you not know? I think anybody in America, it's impossible not to know that it's Christmas time, right? I think you could get somebody that's been in a coma for 10 years, wake them up, give them 5 minutes to look around, and they'll know what time of year it is, right? Because there are so many things. For the last 3 months, we have been bombarded with Christmas. How can we not be ready for Christmas? How can you not be prepared for Christmas? I mean, they've been playing music and songs on the radio for 2 months. It seems like Hallmark has been showing Christmas movies now since July. Everything that you see is Christmas specials and Christmas songs. And you drive down the street and there's lights everywhere. And the streets are decorated and people's houses are decorated. The trees are out. I mean, here in Blowing Rock or in the high country, it seems like since Thanksgiving, 2 out of every 3 cars has a tree on top of it, right? Everybody comes to get their Christmas trees here, so it's impossible for us not to be ready for Christmas, not to be prepared for Christmas, right? You got to be ready. We got to have just the right things, right? Just the right present, just the right setting at home, just the right decorations, just the right food, just the right Christmas card. Just the right environment, just the right Christmas sweater, just the right present for your kids. We want just the right moment, right? Just the right time so we can take just the right picture. A lot of that has to do with the stress of what we experience at Christmas because we're expecting perfection just the right. What does all of that do? All of those things, all of those songs and signs and preparation, it all points us to a great big warning. You better be ready. Christmas is coming. And even those of us that try to put it off, I didn't even put my Christmas tree up till this week. Matter of fact, I try to convince my kids, since it's only a week, why don't we wait and just not even do Christmas tree this year? They didn't go for that. We've had bad weather every weekend when we wanted to go get Christmas trees. And let me tell you, the worst thing to do is to wait and go get a Christmas tree the week before Christmas. It's beautiful with all our decorations, but it looks like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. But, you know, all of that stuff, whether we want it or not, we've got to be ready. And I say all of that because it's such a paradox between all of the preparations, all of the things that go into our Christmas today and what was going on 2,000 years ago for the first Christmas. You see, the setting is much different. All of those things I read to you would come from our Christmas pageants and our Christmas plays and 2,000 years of our mind wrapping around what happened in that manger. But you need to remember, back then, they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. Matter of fact, listen to the story and see if it sounds anything like Christmas today. Luke chapter 2. And in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. For this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And while everyone went to their own town to register, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, which was the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, who do you think in that story does it sound like was ready for the Savior of the world to be born? Do you think the shops in Bethlehem were stocked up on that last night before Jesus' birth with people shopping? Do you think the streets of Bethlehem were decorated with holiday decor? Do you think there were special Christmas musicals and plays and pageants going on that week? Do you think maybe the kids had a tough time going to sleep that night before Jesus was born? Well, the answer to all those things would be no. We all know that. But yet, just as there are all kinds of signs pointing us to Christmas, there are all kinds of signs pointing to that baby being born in a manger. You see, you've got to remember that Jesus was born into one of the most religious cultures in our time. For over 1,000 years, the Jewish people had been talking about and prophesying and hearing that the Messiah was going to come. This Messiah that was going to bring salvation to the Jewish people. This Messiah that was going to come and rule. And even in Jesus' day, they had been excited and looking forward to it. Even the little kids that were just barely religious knew that the Messiah was coming any day. He had been prophesied by Isaiah that he was going to be born of a virgin. Since the book of Genesis, it had told us that he was going to come from the line of Abraham. Isaiah prophesied even more directly that he would come from the line of David, one of David's direct descendants. So that meant that he would probably, since David's descendants were in Bethlehem, he would probably be born in Bethlehem. Matter of fact, Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. There are over 75 major prophecies and over 270 minor prophecies that Jesus fulfilled throughout his life. Almost 45 of them directly related to his birth. You see, Jesus didn't come in a vacuum. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that the Messiah was going to be born. The problem is, they just weren't ready for him to be born when he was born. They just weren't looking for him. You see, all of these signs, everything pointing, and yet on that normal, dusky, dark night, people went about their business as usual. People went to work and they got home and they had a family meal together. Kids played out in the street until dark. The shops were a little busier in Bethlehem because people were in town, but it was just really business as usual. And in the middle of that business as usual, in the middle of that going and coming, in the middle of just a normal, everyday, average day, God intersected time and space, and a little couple from Nazareth slipped into that town after dark. They bedded down in a stable, and she gave birth, and she laid him in a food trough. And the Messiah came to the world. The hope of mankind, born in that little stable, cave really, and no one paid attention. No one noticed. Sure, the angels awoke some shepherds that were out on the hills outside, and there were some wise men that were following this strange star that they didn't know what it was, but everybody else missed it. Nobody else was ready. Nobody else was aware that all of a sudden the Messiah, the Lamb of God, had shown up in human flesh. The hope for all mankind appeared in this little stable in the dusty town outside of Jerusalem because nobody was ready for it. Advent happened. Jesus came. And although many people were waiting for him, nobody was ready. People were busy. They were distracted. They were indifferent. Matter of fact, I think it best is summed up by the bad guy in all of our Christmas musicals. You know who the bad guy was. It was that mean innkeeper, right? He even gets a line. I mean, no, Joseph doesn't even have a line in Christmas plays, right? But the innkeeper gets a line, and his big line is the bad guy. There's no room at the inn. Now, we don't know if there was an innkeeper. We don't even know if there was an inn. We just know that there wasn't a place for them that day. But what the innkeeper tells us in saying that there's no room is really saying we're not ready. Do you think if an innkeeper in Bethlehem had known that the Messiah was going to be born, he wouldn't have had a room ready? I mean, he wouldn't have had a place to be able to say, look, the Messiah was born here, but you see, they weren't prepared. They knew he was coming. They just didn't know he was coming then. They knew he'd been prophesied. They just didn't expect him at that time. And they were busy, and they had things going on in their lives, and they had other things that were distracting them. Basically, what he was saying is, we aren't ready now. Can you come at a different time? Now, I think a lot of Christians today, especially at Christmas, look back 2,000 years ago and say, how could that happen? How could Jesus be born and nobody know? Well, we've got the rest of the story in 2,000 years to look back on. But you see, something worries me as we celebrate this first Advent. Because you see, Jesus grew, lived 33 years, had a ministry, died for our sins as we know, was buried and was resurrected 3 days later. And the last book, matter of fact, the last chapter of the last book in this Bible records Jesus' last words. Matter of fact, in chapter 22, he says them three times. Behold, I am coming back soon. Won't you listen? Behold, I am coming back soon. Now you see, we get wrapped up in that soon part. What did he mean? When is he coming? Where is it going to happen? And we forget that first part. I am coming back. You see, my worry is we are much more prepared to celebrate his first coming than we are prepared for his second. You see, I'm afraid in the church we spend much more time, effort, and energy celebrating a past event instead of preparing for a very important future one. Because you see, when Jesus came the first time, this first Advent, he came as a lamb. He came offering salvation. But when he comes the second time, he will come as a lion, the Bible says. A conquering king, and he will bring judgment. And being prepared for that second time is much more important than being prepared for a holiday. So here's my question to you. Just as Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies in that first Advent, we know that Jesus will fulfill his promise of coming back. The question for us this morning is, how ready are we? How prepared are you if Jesus were to come today? You see, we understand Advent means his arrival, and while we celebrate his arrival on earth, we need to recognize that there is coming a day when he will arrive again. And when he does, he will come to claim those that are his. He will come to claim his church. The question is, if he came today, would you and I have the same response as that lowly innkeeper that, I'm sorry, there's no room? Which in reality means, I'm just not ready. I'm just not prepared. I'm just not ready right now. You see, we have all kinds of ways we get ready for Christmas, right? Traditions. Some of you do the same things every year. You bake the same cookies and you set up the tree to the same music and you watch the same Christmas specials as a family and you do all of these routines. But how do you get ready for Jesus coming back? How do you prepare? How can you know that you're ready? Well, I want to suggest a couple of things this morning to get us ready for his second coming. As we celebrate the coming that brings us hope, as we celebrate the coming that brings us salvation, this morning I want to make sure that you're ready for his coming that brings judgment. The first thing the Bible says that you can do is you can examine your heart. See, the first thing you need to do is make sure you're personally ready for Jesus to come back. Because he will. And he is. And it could be today. You see, it's not about do you come to church. It's not about who your parents are. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about all the head knowledge you have. The main question in examining your heart is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have an intimate walk with him? Was there ever a place and time in your life where you recognized that you were a sinner, separated from God, that you had no hope, and you stopped and confessed your sins and asked Jesus to come into your heart and take control of you? See, the Bible tells us in 1 John, we've been studying 1 John, that at that moment the Holy Spirit comes in, and the evidence that Jesus is inside of you is love and obedience and faith. You see, the greatest thing you can do to prepare for Jesus' arrival, the greatest thing you can do to prepare for Advent is to open your heart and honestly examine it, because there is going to come a day where he is going to look at the Lamb's Book of Life and see if your name's in it. And a big tithe won't get it there, and baptism won't get it there, and being in church every Sunday won't get it there, and knowing all the right answers won't get it there. The only thing that gets your name in his book is acceptance of him. You see, I'm afraid so many people talk about his coming and prepare and celebrate, but in reality, there's still no room. You can examine your hearts this morning. Make sure that just as you're ready for Christmas, and some of you a minute ago said at 10, I'm ready, bring on Christmas. Make sure that you're ready for his coming again. Because I promise you, as sure as my voice, that the prophecies that fulfilled his first coming, the promises will fulfill his second. He is coming again. Second thing you can do is you can be alert and watchful. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24:42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the day of the Lord will come. And that doesn't mean sit around looking in the sky saying, I can't do anything because Jesus can come at any day. What that means is be ready. Live your life as if today he may come. Just be watchful, be alert. Know that you only have a finite amount of time. Love those that are around you. Forgive those that have wronged you. Make the most of every second of every day, because we need to be prepared, because in that instance when the sky is split and Jesus calls his church home, we won't have second chances. He says, be alert, be ready, be prepared. No regrets. I've been many times with people in the hospital that have been fighting cancer, heart disease, struggling with life-threatening illnesses. And to a person, they describe something that comes over them the moment that they realize that they are going to live. They've been under a threat of death. They've been under a threat of cancer or possible death. And the moment they realize that they've defeated that disease, they've defeated that cancer, the moment they realize that they are going to continue to live, they all explain how they are overwhelmed with this incredible clarity of mind. It's like all of a sudden you see things you never saw before, and you smell things you never smelled before, and little things that you took for granted all of a sudden become so important. Talk to somebody that's a cancer survivor. Talk to somebody who's been on death's door and pulled back. They'll tell you, I'm not wasting my time on all of those things I used to that I realize now don't matter. See, that's what the Bible says we need to live every day as Christians. With a clarity and focus that Jesus is coming back. And we don't have much time. He says we need to be prepared. We need to be alert. The third thing is we need to be motivated. Peter says this in 2 Peter 3:11. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day that God will come and speed its coming. You see, what he's reminding us of is there are a lot of people around us in our lives that aren't ready. See, you and I are in the church. We're like those Jewish people. We should have known. We've heard it. We've talked about it. You read the Left Behind series. The Hal Lindsey series. You've read, you've heard Revelation. You've heard 2 Corinthians. Jesus is coming back. You understand that. But you, even you aren't ready. So how can we expect a person that's never heard the call to be ready? People say, oh, what's going to happen when Jesus returns to those people around the world that have never had the chance? They'll be lost and separated from God. You say, well, what can we do? Go and tell. Go and tell. You see, we're so quick in this month, and I appreciate all that are giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that helps us share the gospel around the world. We prayed over our Christmas boxes, the shoe boxes that are going and taking the gospel around the world. And everybody is so excited about doing that, and I so appreciate you doing that. We'll give freely for somebody to go and tell about Jesus in Africa and Europe, but we won't get out of our own houses to go next door and knock on our neighbor's door and tell them about Jesus. You see, what he says is we need to be motivated. Why? Because there's coming a day when it'll be too late. Some of you this holiday season are going to see a brother or sister or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle that you know does not know Jesus Christ. What better chance? I'm not saying get the Bible and beat them up or attack them or sneak up. I'm just saying what better chance than to share the real hope that you have in Christ? Why don't we do it? Because we say maybe next Christmas. Maybe next Thanksgiving. Maybe next holiday. John reminds us we don't have that promise. We have the promise of Christ's return. He says, examine our hearts and be prepared and alert and be motivated. And the fourth thing is we need to be encouraging one another. Over and over in the New Testament, he says this in Thessalonians, we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, because of that, we need to encourage one another with these words. Paul says, let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. You see, if there's nothing we got out of our study of 1 John these last several weeks, it's that we as the body of Christ need each other. We are connected. We are interdependent. Instead of tearing each other up and pulling one another down, we need to recognize that we have got to lift each other up and come behind one another and encourage and bless and forgive and love. He says you need to encourage each other. Be motivated. Examine your heart. Be alert. And the last thing, Paul tells Timothy this, fight the good fight. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means we need to persevere. And perseverance doesn't mean just trying to hunker down. I've talked about that over and over in our study of 1 John. Perseverance means standing strong. You see, here's what happens, Christian. We start telling ourselves, well, maybe Jesus isn't really going to come back. It's been 2,000 years. Maybe he's not coming back. Maybe he's not coming back tomorrow or today. It didn't happen yesterday. And when we're tempted to walk away from God, when we're tempted to give in, the Bible says, hang in there. Because that day will come. The question for you and I this morning is, are we ready? Are we as ready for his second coming as we are for the celebration of his first? I want you to listen to this song and let the words of this song speak to your hearts. Jesus says this in Revelation chapter 20. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. For whoever is thirsty, let them come. And whoever wishes, let them take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. Are we ready?
Bethlehem looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a silent star lights up the sky. While you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. Oh, tonight, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, little town of Jerusalem looks like another silent night. The Father gave his only Son, the way, the truth, the light have come. There was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping, United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies, save the trees and kill the children. While we're lying in the dark, a shout's heard across the eastern sky. Before the bridegroom has returned, carrying his bride away in the night. Oh, the night. America, what we have missed while we were sleeping. Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, we will go down in history as a nation with no room for its king. While we were sleeping, while we were sleeping, United United States of America. Looks like another silent night.
Houses are decorated, trees up, nativity scenes are done, presents wrapped, everything's ready to celebrate the arrival of Christ. But the real question this morning is your heart ready for His coming? Don't waste this Christmas season without recognizing the Messiah, the prophesied Messiah that was born in this manger, died for hope, hope for all, and is coming again to claim those that are His. Father, I pray that we would heed Your words and recognize the truth of Your coming. Father, I pray as we celebrate Christmas that we would examine our hearts, that we would be alert and ready, that we'd be motivated. That, Father, we would seek to serve and to encourage and lift up others, and that, Father, we would stand strong. Father, I pray that we can hear Your voice saying this morning, hang on, don't give up. That we would have the clarity of mind to recognize Your arrival is coming. Father, examine us, search us, as we celebrate You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and worship?